This episode of the TagCast podcast is brought to you by Avita Midwifery, gentle care and peaceful birthing. Find them at avitamidwifery.com and on Facebook, servicing the Albany, Lebanon, Corvallis, Mid-Valley, and surrounding areas. Call for your free consultation. avitamidwifery.com.
Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey, Taggets, you got a combine or a tractor that needs serviced? Check out Complete Ag Resolutions. Today's episode is brought to you in part, as always, by Complete Ag Resolutions, offering you the best solutions in your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/Complete Ag Resolutions. Hey, Gatch.
Aww.
We're on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
You want to listen on Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Cause I'll still remember. And now it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you. Jerk off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast podcast starts right now. And take a drink.
Hello and welcome to the TagCast 25
or 6
or 4,
maybe 52.
25 it is.
How are you doing?
I am your host, one of them, Gatch.
He's Indian?
I am.
Wait, he's Native American.
I'm both.
And he's waiting for the break of day.
I am.
I'm Terry. I am searching for something to say. And I'm going to continue saying it for at least 55 minutes. Thanks for joining us on a hump day.
Yes, hump day.
We didn't know if it was episode 25 or 6.
Or 2. 4.
4. We were going to use this last season, but we came up with something else. I don't know what it was.
It was ZZ Top, wasn't it?
Oh, we'll do that next season. Yeah. 25 episodes in the season.
No, we did. Didn't we do that last season?
I don't think so. Maybe. I couldn't find it. I don't think so. Well, hey, everybody, go back and listen to season 2, episode 25.
From season 1, right?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm looking for something to say. Mm. Is this song about doing crank and playing trumpets?
It might be.
Like they're waiting for the break of day and they're all up all night and they're staring blindly.
Maybe they're zombies.
They're staring blindly into space. Zombies, good one. Who watched the goddamn season premiere of Walking Dead on Sunday?
Did you?
No, I don't have AMC because Dish is fags.
Oh.
Dish Network.
I get to watch commercials about that every time, too.
Yeah, only available on Comcast. Yeah. We'll call them Comcast.
No, they say, don't switch to Dish. What they say.
Don't switch to Dish. What if you're already at Dish? Switch to Comcast. Sean Connery says so.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand why they would do that on a show that already gets, or on a cable package that already gets the package.
AMC.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, I have caught up. I got like 20 minutes left of the season finale of season 2. I've been trying to get through it. And then like we talked about it last week, how you can't wait for your significant other sometimes to watch the episodes.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, she's like, how far did you go? And I go, halfway through the last episode. It's like, hey, you wouldn't watch. She goes, I didn't say anything. I go, I'm going to watch them again with you because I was like dozing off through. So when you watch 5 episodes, you might start to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Like, man, my dad gave me this brownie yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I claim not to feel eateries or whatever you call
them. Was there walnuts in it?
No, there was weed in it, dude. And see, what my dad does, he doesn't, like, cook down the butter and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
He, like, just grinds up, like, the sun leaves that you wouldn't think were very potent.
Uh-huh.
And he grinds them into a fine powder, almost mm-hmm. like a baking powder. And then he just adds that. Now, he's been adding a dry measure, 1 cup of... And then he was trying to tell me it's 8 ounces, because eight ounces is 1 cup.
Yeah.
He goes, I put 8 ounces of weed in those brownies. Cut them into 8 pieces. There's an ounce of weed in each brownie. I said, there's not an ounce of weed in
that
each
would be, how would you fit it
so
in there?
Now we got a scale, and uh-huh. we weighed the container. Well, we teared it. It's got the tear button, and you push uh-huh. that. And then we weighed 1 cup of weed, 8 ounces, is actually 2 ounces of this weed. Because it's ground so fine.
So about a 1-to-4 ratio.
So you got a 1/4 ounce of weed in 1 brownie. I don't know if it was because I knew that and then I ate it, but like later I felt like I was tripping out. Like on.
Yeah, I've never had good luck cooking.
Ooh, I was like, it didn't taste wonderful. It tasted mm-hmm. pretty good and chocolatey, but it tasted weedy. It tastes like eating your Wheaties.
I always heard you were supposed to like melt it into the butter, right?
Yeah, that's what everybody else does.
And then you use the butter.
But he ground this so fine that it's not like you're eating pieces of weed.
Yeah.
It's just like a powder.
When you do it in the butter, do you generally leave the weed in there afterwards?
It kind of cooks out and then it turns like green, but I don't know. Anybody know how to cook weed butter?
Because I've done that before with like a bunch of leaf and then you just end up with all the leaves and you got to like, you know, butter's all stuck on them.
Yeah, you got to strain it through something or something. That's why I don't even do that.
And then I always figure, well, man, you'd almost have to use like an ounce of weed just to make a batch of brownies and.
Yeah. And if people want to cook...
That's like $300 brownies.
Well, most people use like trimmings or like if they're...
Yeah, I know. I don't have...
Medical grower and they've got all these bags of leaves. Like certain people I know could get like just off their crop for one person, get like 4 pounds of sun leaves.
Garbage bags.
Yeah. And then they just grind it all up.
Into 8 ounce. Wait.
Yeah, 8 ounce cups that are actually 2 ounces a piece. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, happy hump day, all you taggots out there. Thanks for listening. We're still plugging along after how many months has it been now? 3-4 months.
Oh, it's been longer than that, right?
May, June, July, August, September, October,
yeah, like
five. It'll be five months at the end of 4.5 months. Yeah, we're plugging along. I think we've up to almost 60 episodes almost or something.
Yeah.
So we'll do a tally of that coming up in the next week or so to let you know when we get to like a milestone, which would be what, episode 69.
69.
Most people would say, oh, we wait till our 100th episode for the milestone. No, ours is going to be 69 and then 169 and then 269. Of course, if we get that far. So everybody who listens knows that our Wednesday show is pretty much our weekend recap because Monday is kind of like a faux weekend wrap-up, meaning F-A-U-X, faux.
Faux?
Not like your friend that you don't like. Your foe. But, yeah, what'd you do? We went to the Wow Hall on Friday.
I did go to the Wow Hall on Friday, and...
it was kind of another one of those disappointing turnouts.
It was a bittersweet thing.
Yeah.
And...
It was a great fucking show.
I made a post of my bittersweetness.
I saw that.
And
I agree totally.
I think it could have been read that I might have been putting it on one of the bands, which I was not.
No, I don't believe
not,
so.
Was not. But but man, it's hard with the overhead there. I thought it was a man, those Maiden Northwest guys, dude.
Woo! Dude, just watching the sound check, the first thing I saw was them doing Die With Your Boots On.
Yeah, and
which
if, you
is
were,
an obscure...
if you were in there, you
dude,
would probably just... swore it was Maiden in there.
That singer, I swear to God, he sounded so much like Bruce Dickinson. Now, no offense to their former singer, who was also a singer for Hellion, which is a Judas Priest tribute. I think this guy you said is from Ramble On, which is a Led Zeppelin
tribute.
That's
what I read on their bio.
Yeah.
But I'm not familiar
guy,
with...
I
know I've heard the name Ramble On.
I'm sure that he could do Robert Plant as well, but his
He took it on.
He took it to almost to the next level.
Yeah.
Like, it was like watching that kid from Journey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not
it,
that...
It was...
And he looked more like the drummer from Iron Maiden. He looks like Nico.
They put on
like
a great
Nico.
Show. They had Eddie come out 3 times, once on the stilts.
Yeah, the super tall Eddie was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And even though I missed part of the show because I had to take off for a little while, I caught because they played so long, man. They played almost 2 hours, didn't they?
A little over, right?
And they did Rime of the Ancient Mariner, and I got back just in time to see that. Mm-hmm. It's such an epic 14-minute song.
Yeah.
The bass player was intense. I think his fingers might have been bleeding after a while. He's doing the 3-finger triplet.
Oh, man, I couldn't even believe his fingers. I was like, wow.
Yeah. constantly for like 2 hours, man. Yeah. And they were just good. They were a good band. And the first time I saw Sick Man, those guys were awesome.
Those guys are great too.
They brought out a chick to sing Ann Wilson's parts on Brother, and she did an awesome job.
Oh, was that Ann Wilson's parts?
Yeah, she sang on that song Jar of Flies. And my wife, who's a big Alice in Chains fan, probably bigger than me, she thought that she had never heard that song, but that's a pretty popular song from Jar of Flies, that Brother. And she didn't recognize it.
From time to time.
Yeah, on the radio. Yeah. So, yeah, those guys were awesome. Yeah. And then I had my first, you probably saw it, I had my first heckler.
Yeah, I saw that.
And my wife nearly came to blows. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that too.
That's awesome. I love her for standing up for me. But, honey, if you're listening, don't get yourself in trouble over some stupid chick who was probably 19 or 20 wearing Beaver's fucking shit at the Wow Hall.
Yep.
Telling me, who the hell am I? Nobody, but I'm Terry Guile. Anyone who listens.
He obviously didn't know what was going on, though.
Anyone who listens to this show who wasn't at the show, I know I have a couple fans out there, and most of them are my good friends, and they kind of put me on a pedestal more than I think I should be. But this chick was like, you guys better be good. And I was like,
the only one up there.
I go, first of all, it's not me, guys. It's just me. And she's like, well, Iron Maiden's my favorite band, and if you butcher any of these songs, I go, well, first off, I'm not the Iron Maiden band. They're going to be coming up, and I'm going to be playing some songs you probably never heard before. And she's like, well, if you butcher any of them, I'm going to kill you. And so I announced over the microphone, hey, you guys heard it? She just threatened my life. Please call the cops.
Yeah.
And then I played Caius, which I know she's never heard.
Yeah.
Just because by looking at her, I can tell. Then I said, here's a Kiss song. And she's like, I love Kiss. And I was like, all right, here's a song that you've never heard probably.
Yep.
It was from 1974. It was probably 20 years before you were even born.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do Goin' Blind, which is made popular also by the Melvins.
Yep.
And I didn't think I did that bad of a job.
No.
She said, I butchered that song. You butchered that song. And I said, you've never even heard that song before. And then my wife came and was like laughing at her. And then the girl goes, and this was all unbeknownst to me because I'm on the stage doing my thing. Uh-huh. Are you laughing at me or are you laughing at him? She goes, I'm laughing at you. And she goes, why? She goes, because you're fucking ridiculous. And then she turned around and walked off. And that girl kind of went, put her hands on her hips. And then, what's his name? My good buddy, Floyd, came up and joined me. We did a song, and then we got ready to do the last song, and there was rumors of doing tribute, but we hadn't worked it out that much. We played it in the green room, and it was okay. It would have passed.
Yeah.
But we didn't have time, and they were running tight ship. They want us to be done right at 8:45, so I go, we don't have time. Wish I could do more. And she's like, you should have been done 20 minutes ago.
Oh.
And Dana's all, that's it. And she, like, takes off, and her friend Julie's like, Dana, don't. She's like, fuck you, bitch. Get out of my way. And I'm like, you said that to your friend that was with you? And she goes, yeah, no one's going to stand in between me and my family if they talk shit about my husband or my kids. Look the fuck out. And they didn't fight, but she told her to shut up because she didn't know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
And then she had said, Iron Maiden does my two favorite songs. And I was like, well, what are they? And she's like, it's like the two from Rock Band, right? She's like, so it was a good chance for me to respond to a heckler in a musical situation. I've had them with a group before, probably. People telling us that we suck. Maybe Sons of Confusion or any other band that I've been in. You guys suck. Victims got spit on by some punkers once back in the day. And I think that was my first solo music performance where a chick was telling me I was sucking, which was awesome. I didn't let it falter me or let it trip me up or go, honey, am I sucking? People clapped and then were nice enough to pat me on the back and say I did a good job. I was pretty nervous though because there wasn't a lot of people there, but first time doing solo at Wow Hall, fun. And then I snuck over and opened for the guy who opened for Dave Chappelle.
Oh, nice.
At a bar where no one was really paying attention.
Nick Cannon?
Oh, he looks like him though. Oh, wait, no. All black people don't look alike. No, his name's Nathan Brannan. Nick Cannon, Nathan Brannan. Yeah. He's also Portland's funniest person from the Helium contest this year. He beat out 87 other comedians, including me and yourself.
Wow. He did beat me out there.
Yeah, but you didn't even perform.
But still, that was horrible.
Yeah, so he's a funny guy. And Josh. Oh, and by the way, next week our guest will be the double dip team of Josh and Seth, because I talked to those boys on Friday, and they're going to come together like the Beatles right now over me, and then I'm going to clean it up.
No, that's nice.
And so I think they're just going to do two episodes with the both of them sharing.
Yeah, I have a guest on November 6th, too, but I'm not telling who it is.
6th, too. Okay, now who else approached me about being on the show? Oh, the guitarist from Griefhammer, Mike. He likes to come and be our silent guest sometimes, but he's been busy lately with school, getting his shit together, doing cool stuff. But
right on.
Drove to Portland on Sunday. You didn't do anything else over the weekend?
It's kind of I went over to the Dixie on Saturday.
Oh
night.
Yeah, how was that show?
Was
I stayed
good.
Home that night.
Yeah, American Roulette tore it up. Bury the Goat.
How'd they do?
Our Bury the Goat. They did really well.
Cool. Somebody, and, this is weird. Don't want to interrupt, so I'll wait. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, just can store it up as always.
Cool.
So like those guys always bring the energy.
Jeff
the
Falconer?
Falcon, yeah, I mentioned to Jeff that we had gave him birthday shout-outs, and we're calling him the Falcon. And I asked him if people call him the Falcon, and he said, oh, he pointed at the drummer. When he gets all drunk, he likes to call me the Falcon.
You will be the Falcon, but from now on, I am the Falconer. Oh, yeah. So what was it? Oh, Bury the Goat.
Yeah.
My friend John Manning, he used to come to practice sometimes, otherwise known as Farmer Tape Nose, to some of my friends. It was a funny name, but that's what we used to call him. He had told my son that he was going to come over and hang out for a while and just BS and listen to some music and maybe puff. And he didn't show up. And then he came the next day and he goes, tell Mike I'm really sorry, man. Something came up and I couldn't make it. And I go, what came up? And he goes, I had to go bury a goat. And I said, really? Yeah. I said, have you heard of that band? He goes, he laughs. Well, I go, bury the goat. That's a band. He's like, really? He goes, I did have to bury the goat yesterday. A friend of his that he works for, their goat died that they had been, you know, using for milk or whatever you feed tin cans to or whatever you do with goats.
Yeah.
Hail Satan, whatever you do with goats. And it died. So he had to dig a goat grave. That's hard to say. Dig a goat grave.
Dig a goat grave.
That sounds like a band. So, yeah, Bury the Goat coming true in Brownsville. Huh. That was pretty awesome. There was a goat buried in Brownsville. His name was Barry.
I don't know if I'm giving out any secrets, but I don't know myself. So it wouldn't really – how would I know it was a secret if I didn't know if it's true or not anyway, right?
Secrets.
But I'm not sure that band is talking about goats.
They might be talking about a goatee.
Yeah.
Where are you going to bury that thing? No, really. Tell me. Do we leave that to the imagination?
Yeah.
So if you had a goatee type of beard on your face, what would you? Where would you think about burying it?
The sand. The sandy vagina.
What are you, an ostrich?
Yeah.
Did you bury your head in the sandy vagina?
Yeah, I would.
Bury your goat in the sandy vagina.
But you own a car wash, right?
Yeah.
Would you own a car wash in Miami?
Yeah, I would. It would probably have to, if I was in Miami, it'd have to be a bigger kicker asser, more kick ass car wash, and I'd probably have naked chicks washing cars and doing different things. Why would,
what if it was this Miami car wash where a Christian rapper was shot dead at?
Wow. Why?
His name was Bizzle. That's true. A popular Christian rapper, he was shot dead while his two children were sitting in his SUV. Bam!
Wow. What was he doing? What caused them to shoot him?
Well, it said he had gotten into an argument with somebody at the business.
Were they fighting physically? Or
it does not really
arguing.
Say. Yeah.
Slapping
the kids
each other.
Weren't really hurt, and apparently they did not witness it, but man.
So he was just in an altercation, and then he's dead.
Yeah.
Fucking weird.
Yeah. I don't know if gang stuff or what, but Bizzle.
Dude, the streets of Miami are hard.
That is, man. Christian rappers even fucking getting shot down.
I think he was going for some street cred.
Yeah.
I bet.
Does that go along with the crazy Floridians?
I think that is a crazy Floridian story, and I think that his album just went platinum.
It probably did.
Because he's got shot down on the streets of Miami.
Yeah.
Did he take 9 bullets or just one?
No, I didn't say how many bullets he took. If he would have 9, he would have lived. But speaking of rap, did you know the Stones are going to tour again?
My dad was just telling me that.
It's 50 years since they first toured the U.S.
I think the new album's called 50.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Because they've been
So they must be like 70. And I was talking to a guy, maybe I talked to you about it too, about Charlie Watts, their drummer. And how easy of a job that he has, because he's just kind of for every song. And I talked to a friend, I think it was Steve Carlisle, for the drummer from the Bone Jars, who also plays kind of like that. No, he's way better than Charlie Watts. And he told me that Charlie Watts doesn't even like music.
How is that even possible?
I don't even know. It's just a job. I'm a drum player. I'm a drum player by profession. But I like to watch television.
And on the side, he likes to deliver pizzas.
Yep. That's what my true drive is just to drive around delivering pizzas. It's my passion. I have a passion for pizza delivery. That's Charlie Watts. Passion.
Yep, for money, I play drums.
Now, that sounds like a fucking Saturday Night Live skit. Charlie Watts, passionate pizza delivery guy.
Yep.
And he's like, I hate playing. I can't get no satisfaction. Yeah, but I'd love delivering a double cheese pizza down on 14th Street.
Yeah. You'd notice, though, whenever he would deliver, though, that he would have no stereo in his car.
Ooh. I heard a friend talking about a guy that came to deliver them some pizza. Uh-huh. And, like, at the house before the house that he got to deliver it. When he was in the house delivering the pizza, someone got in his car and stole the rest of his pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got to the guy's house to deliver the pizzas and then had to come to the door with no pizzas and say, your pizzas got stolen out of my car.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But they fucking hooked him up. They gave him his money back and brought him two new pizzas and said, you want some extra stuff? And
nice.
So, yeah, they were saying how you could set up a sting and, like, maybe have Lance order a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's too close. You got any friends that live like four blocks away?
I got some right over there.
All right. Well, it's got to be far enough away to where when they're putting the pizza up to the door and he's like, oh, just a second, let me get a tip.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And then the guy's waiting at the door, you sneak and you get in his car and you take the pizzas to your house. And then he comes to deliver those pizzas to you. And he's like, man, my pizzas got stolen. You get your money back. Two more pizzas.
Yeah.
So you get four pizzas and a bunch of extra shit for free.
That would be some great stuff.
Yeah, don't do that at home, kids.
Yeah, don't do that.
And I'm not telling if anyone listens to the other podcast that I heard that on. Mm-hmm. Tell your friends because it's a great idea.
Did you hear about that pizza guy? He delivered it from space. He was 25 miles up.
Dude.
And he had a half an hour or less to deliver it. Turns out he made it.
That guy was going 800 miles an hour in nothing but a spacesuit.
Uh-huh. It was a 15-minute, like half of it was a free fall, right?
I don't understand. Yeah, but he missed the record because he was going too fast and he was going to explode or something. But my dad, I don't know, sometimes he reads stories wrong, but this is what he told me. If he would have got one hole or a tear in that spacesuit when he was falling, his blood would have instantly started boiling.
I would imagine, yeah, because of the heat of the friction of going that fast, right?
Dude, I read 823 miles per hour.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate from what I read.
Could you imagine going 823 miles an hour in an airplane? That's how fast you normally go when you're flying, like, to New York. They'll get up to speeds of 600 to 800 miles an hour.
Mostly it's gravity, right? Yeah.
But what if you're going 100 miles an hour in a car? Fuck, that's scary enough as it is.
You know what, though? And this would have been cool for him to do was... They should have dropped off, like, a tennis ball out of the plane at the same time so it would fall
see
at the same speed.
See which one landed
speed.
First?
And well, because gravity's supposed to take it all down.
You could just, like, hit it up. You could have a tennis racket. It would probably rip the racket right
juggle,
out of...
You juggle, right?
It would rip the racket right out of his hand.
You probably would. Rip his hand right off.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we were up in Portland on Sunday, and I tested my phone out as far as water resistance. I got out of the truck, and I had my phone in my inside pocket, and I went to put on my jacket, and it was inside out, so I kind of flipped it around, and there was cars going by, and then when I flipped my jacket around upside down and put it on, apparently my phone fell out of my pocket and landed on the street, like, right next to the vehicle. And
Did you have a protector thing on there?
Nope. So I went into the Ash Street Saloon. And we sat there. We ordered some drinks. So it was about 15 minutes. And then I thought I was going to put a Facebook update, come out to my show. And where's my phone? Oh, I remember putting it in my pocket. That's weird. Hope it didn't fall outside in the rain because it was pouring like it was Oregon or something. It was pouring rain. It was pouring down rain.
Uh-huh.
And so I went out there, and sure enough, it's laying right there in the street and just covered. It's not in a puddle, but it's covered.
Yeah.
And so I bring it in, and water's kind of pouring out of it. And it turned right on. And so I took the battery out and blown it out for about 15 minutes, and then I turned it back on. It says SD card removed, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the SD card out and blew it all out. waved it in the air for about 15 minutes back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it seems to work. The next day, it said SD card removed, and I took it out, blew it out, put it back in. Hasn't done anything since.
I don't.
So that was awesome. But that was at the Ash Street Saloon. I had a good show up there. It was the Down and Dirty Comedy Showcase, and Will Woodruff showed up and did a guest set and apologized for backing out on us again. He said, mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll probably never invite me on the show again. I said, well, no, you're welcome to come, but you call it. We're not going to ask and set a date. You contact us. But So he said,
don't call us. Wait, no, it's do call us.
Yeah. And I got to meet a couple new people, and I got mm-hmm. to see Sean C. Connery do his set. He was nice. Pretty funny. He talked about the woes of living with the name Sean Connery and not being able to live up to Sean Connery. Yeah, like he's like, expect me just to bust through the door and say, I'm Sean Connery, and I fuck women. He goes, but I don't. I like fuck one because I'm married and I'm a regular guy. But but yeah, and Anthony Lopez was up there, and my old friend Randy Mendez from Eugene, mm-hmm. who recently moved from Eugene to Portland, showed up and did a guest set. And Stephanie Pirtle was there, formerly from Eugene. So it was kind of like a Eugene reunion of sorts for me up in Portland.
Union.
Yeah. And Anthony Lopez, this was weird. He's been doing stand-up for about 3 years. He said this was the first time that he'd done stand-up at the Ash Street Saloon since the first time he ever did stand-up at an open mic night at Ash Street Saloon.
Wow.
So that was kind of cool for him. And I found out that Heather, the longtime booker and sound lady mm-hmm. from that place, is leaving there.
Oh, really?
New Year's Eve is her last show. And she's like the sound girl every night. She's no effing around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not to say anything about her. She's a great woman, but you don't fuck around when you're dealing with Heather. And she's very good at what she does. She runs great sound. I think it was the best sound I've ever had for a comedy show. I mean, Will Woodruff ended his set with his little beatbox and thing about getting fired from McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
And, man, it sounded like a rap concert in there.
Nice.
He's like, it was just like, wow, that's the best I've heard you ever, Will. It made Will sound like a legitimate white rapper from Dallas, Oregon.
Oh, he is, though, right?
No, he's a professional comedian, goddammit. Don't you know that? He's going to come back on the show at some point.
Right,
it's going to be cool, maybe,
right
if
on.
He ever gets his
Do
shit together.
Do you think
together.
He has ever killed a bird?
I think he probably killed two birds with one stone at least once.
That
but
is
not
good.
Literally, though. Figuratively.
There were some students.
You kill birds?
I've killed birds before, yeah.
I've shot birds with BB guns.
And there were some students, not sure how old they were. Yeah, they're from the University of California of Berkeley.
Yeah.
UCB. And they went to Vegas to the Flamingo Hotel, where they have like a wildlife habitat with a bunch of birds.
Yeah.
And they killed one of the exotic birds.
On purpose?
Yeah, and we're just playing catch with its head and body.
Why?
I don't know. The police say the surveillance video captured them chasing it into the trees and then emerging carrying its body and severed head. And then the witness said they saw them throwing it around and laughing.
Wow.
They've been charged with malicious killing of wildlife, which is a felony.
So was that just a prank for them to do?
I do not know.
Fucking assholes is what they are.
I know. Yeah.
Man.
The cops don't really, that's all they said.
Wow. That's mean. I mean.
It was an endangered bird, too.
A flamingo. So,
well, it wasn't a flamingo. They have all sorts of birds and a little.
Well, that's kind of shitty, you know. You that's not very nice. And especially, I bet PETA's all over that shit.
Yeah. But what about if it was butterflies?
Same thing.
Really?
What if it was just flies?
Because, I don't know then.
What if we killed a fly? It'd be perfectly acceptable to kill flies.
This artist, I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is...
Skrillex? Hobson?
No, his name is Hurst. He's British. His name is Damien Hurst.
What does he do? What's his claim to fame?
Famous for his works using pickled and dismembered animals.
PETA hates that guy, I bet.
But this one, he made a design out of 9,000 butterflies.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
But they keep dying after like 3 days when their lifespan is
they're
six
alive
months.
When he's making them?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I thought, it'd be okay if he was like using dead animals that died naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But is he killing these animals to pickle them and using live butterflies to.
Well, yeah, that's what that's what animal rights groups are saying, is their average lifespan in the wild is like 6 months, and in the exhibit it's 3 days.
So is that like insect centipede?
Like
the human centipede?
It might be.
He's just sowing like 1,000. How many did you say?
9,000.
9,000 butterflies all together? Are they sewn together or what are they?
Well, only 9,000 have died. So there's actually more than that. It's called In and Out of Love.
You know what I think
and,
he's trying to do?
It allows visitors to observe the lives of butterflies close up. It's a 23-week exhibit. And apparently they're getting trampled or brushed off visitors' clothing is how they're dying.
Yeah. No shit. You can't. But yeah.
But do you think, obviously, if it was a dog, it wouldn't be all right, right? But would it be all right if it was roaches?
Maybe.
Why is that, though?
Because roaches are disgusting.
That's so roachist.
And see, this is racist. It's roachism. Mm-hmm. So, maybe he was just trying to help out all the ADD people, you know, kill as many butterflies so they just don't get distracted. You're, like, trying to concentrate. Oh, look, a butterfly. No, all the butterflies are dead. Pay attention, you dumb son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's social commentary art.
And, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe it would be okay to kill the animals if they were, like, zombified or if they had a disease or something. You know, like, that brings me to mind of The Walking Dead, and like we were watching. We'll get back to that. I don't know how we got away from it so fast.
Yeah, I know. I was like, ooh, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, I heard 10.9 million viewers.
Oh, it blew up.
10.9 million viewers.
I watched it
twice.
Because
no, just kidding.
Because I was in a crazy headspace.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's nothing else on. I get
here's my question.
Cable, so I watched that and the two shows that were after it 4 times in a row.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so spoiler alert for anybody who's listening who hasn't seen all of season 2. I'm going to talk about something for a second.
Oh, season 2 you should have seen.
Oh, man. So, okay, so I'll keep it vague. The barn scene.
Uh-huh. I don't think we have to keep it vague, though.
Pretty heavy, don't you think? Now, I was in a discussion with my wife of whether or not the old Herschel dude was justified in thinking that's my wife, that's my son, that's my stepson, those are my neighbors, those are people. They're not walkers, they're sick people. He wanted to keep them alive. Well, then dickhead Shane comes and opens up the door, and then there's a bloody massacre of all of his family and friends, and then the little girl comes out that they've been looking for. See, I told you, spoiler alert, you guys should have shut it off. But anyway,
no, they're fine.
It's heavy duty, dude. That show is heavy, and that's a
dude, that is that. It almost gave me the chills just as you were saying it. But
when that girl came out,
well, you got to consider the two different views of. Because they were on the farm, Herschel and
it's
all those
farm.
People. It is his farm. But he hadn't seen the big cities and what it was like there, and the millions of zombies roaming the streets just eating people at will. As far as he knew, it was
just a sickness.
Just AIDS.
Like a plague or something that would go. And I agree with what he said earlier. I think it was in season 2 as well when he said that about AIDS and saying it's a form of population control because the world's getting so big, bubonic plague comes along in the 13th century and wipes everybody out, and then we rebuild, and some people make it and some people don't.
And as he said,
we have guns.
Yeah, and he said, ours knew that Jesus said something about the raising the dead. I just didn't know this is what he meant.
Yeah. I like old Herschel. He's a good dude.
He is.
But yeah, and I just liked him from the beginning, even when I thought he was a doctor. Mm-hmm. He turned out just to
I'm
be a veterinarian.
I'm trying not to go spoiler mode.
Yeah, don't.
You can. But
everybody died in the first episode.
What about old Shane Alingus, though, in there?
It took forever for him to get killed in that second season, and I had the spoiler from last, five, six months ago, and I kept waiting and kept waiting, and finally, I knew it was going to be Rick.
Yeah.
I had to kill him.
That guy figured it out pretty quick.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see Dale go towards the end of season 2. Yeah,
he was the only one outspoken.
He was the one smart enough to know that Shane was a bad guy and to come out and say something.
Yeah, and the only one that was really against killing the captive that they had, too.
And that guy.
And coming around that it was Carl that had pestered the zombie loose out of the mud.
Yep.
It's pretty heavy, man, the way things come around.
And if you haven't watched it and you have access to Netflix, check out Walking Dead from episode one and watch it and try not to pay any attention to all the stuff we just said. Or you'll forget about it by the time you get to the area. Yeah. And then I'm going to have to wait probably till next year unless I can find some kind of torrent to download it or get a friend. Phil, do you listen to the show?
If I had a DVR, I'd probably be able to hook you up. But
Phil Golding has a...
Maybe towards the end of the season, they'll have like the catch-up, play all the episodes in a row. Maybe like an event with somebody.
AMC just usually does the mustard thing.
What is that? They don't cut the mustard?
No, it's just the opposite of ketchup.
Oh,
I just know you hate mustard. So.
I do.
You remind me of that's like my sidekick Paul Schaefer. Speaking of Paul Schaefer, that was perfect timing because when you do your best, Paul Schaefer, musical director of Late Show with David Letterman, says his contract expires in 2014 and he's unsure whether he's going to renew.
Why? Is this a personal thing between him and Dave?
No. Everything's great, but he's been in show business for so long. And Did you guess how old that little bald guy is?
Oh, let me guess. Okay, so he was bald when he was on Saturday Night Live. He was
don't there judge by the balding. Cause later,
but I'm just saying he was bald.
That was 75.
I'm just saying he's probably not like 20 when he's
bald.
He's bald in Saturday Night Live at the
and
beginning,
that was
right?
75,
he was there.
Yeah. 76.
And I'm going to guess, man, he had to be at least 27 there, which would make it 55 plus 7 would be 48, which would make
No, 55 plus 7 is 62.
I know, but I was going the other way because it would be older, which would make him 48, 52, 64.
Damn, dude, that's pretty good. He's 62.
Wow.
That was some good figuring for just an edumacated guest.
So he's 25 back in those days.
I'm already bald.
Yeah,
Larry David was bald. Well, not completely. They had a comb over.
I think he had the chosen bald. You know, I don't know how.
He still had the sides.
Did he?
Yeah.
I guess he did, huh?
He just wanted to have hair, and they do the little really light comb over.
That's
right. Ha, 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 ha. Hoo, hoo, hoo.
You think he's gay?
Hey, you got any gum?
Ha, ha.
Ha, ha. No.
I always remember the Beavis and Butthead where he took a pencil in the eye.
He's been on Letterman for 30 years, dude. Wow.
30. I actually don't seriously think he was gay. I was just thinking.
No, but he did say that he's certainly going to be ready to lie down and take a nap if he does finish in 2014. That's a weird. That's a weird. He said, but listen to this. I'll try to do it. But life is nutty, you know. It's nutty. It's nutty. Anything can happen. I've been so lucky and blessed to be working in this show business for so long. And whatever happens, it's just gravy to me, baby. It's gravy. Guess how much he makes per year? Fuck me in the bury the goat ass.
$8 million.
Yeah, you're being generous, but $5 million a year just for raising your hand at the end of the song when the commercial break.
I'm going.
That's
right.
I know. It's great.
Now, I was asking the gay thing to segue to this guy.
He's a little gay.
This guy was an anti-gay Christian.
Whoa.
And his friend came out as a lesbian to him. And he was so intrigued that he went undercover as a gay man for an entire year.
Did he just accidentally become gay?
No, he came out to his parents as gay. He hired a partner actor for the year.
Whoa.
And then at the end came out as hetero and then wrote a book and said that it changed his mind that when he was called a fag in the gay softball league, he said it really struck a chord with him.
Let me see if I can guess the name of his book. Deep Cover. No, is that wrong?
No, it's
darned
called it. Fat. No, that's a quote.
Fat asses don't lie.
Yeah, it's called The Cross in the Closet.
What?
That's even cooler, isn't it?
Why do you keep that cross in there? Has it got stuff on the tip?
No, it's because he's a Christian.
Oh, well, fuck that shit. What did you say we were talking about, Phil Paul Schaefer? What did you say about Beavis and Butthead?
Oh, when he took a pencil in the eye.
Beavis? Yeah, with Paul Schaefer.
No, Butthead. No, Beavis. It was.
But what did that have to do with Paul Schaefer?
It was.
Schaefer.
It was.
Shape up or shift out.
It was an awards show. And Beavis and Butthead were playing David and Paul. And Butthead was like, yeah, I got an egg on the David Letterman thing with the big old gap in his teeth. And he was playing with the pencil that he always does,
yeah.
Right? Like David Letterman. And he tossed it, and the next thing you see is Beavis as Paul Schaefer with blood.
So you're talking about Norm MacDonald doing David Letterman?
No, this is Beavis and Butthead, just like a cartoon.
I was going to say, if that was weird, because today's birthdays include Mike Judge and Norm MacDonald.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And you were talking about Beavis and Butthead and David Letterman. Norm MacDonald does an awesome David Letterman. Mike Judge does an awesome Beavis and Butthead.
Blam.
Yeah, Mike Judge, happy birthday. He's 50 today.
Wow.
And Norm MacDonald, 49. Wow. Eminem, birthday today.
48.
40. Eminem's 40.
Wow.
Whoa.
His daughter's like 21.
Yeah. And former living super daredevil Evel Knievel was born on this day in 1938.
Wow.
And my darling daughter today turns 22.
Wow, nice.
Yep, happy birthday, Alicia. I know you don't listen.
That is the age when you no longer feel like the newbie in the bar, right?
Yeah, and she's no longer my little girl. Oh. No, she still is, but she's 22.
Right on.
You guys stay away from her. I didn't realize that her and Eminem had the same birthday.
Hmm.
Awesome.
Does she rap?
She wraps up Quarter Pounders.
Right on. Right on.
Actually, she wraps up the whole crew and says, wrap up them Quarter Pounders, biatch. Because she's a manager. She's a rapper. She's a rapper. Yeah. Actually manages rappers.
Oh, wow. That is pretty. That is.
She's Alicia Suge Guile.
Making it
up. Or wait,
Suge.
I always say it Suge because it's spelled like huge.
Uh-huh.
Suge. Alicia Suge Suge.
So, how do you keep your pot plants warmed?
You don't. Indoor or outdoor?
I'd guess outdoor.
You just let Mother Nature do the trick, and I will be attested to this because I have a recent, what do you call it, experience in the harvest of someone's legal marijuana crop. So don't get any ideas. Anybody who's listening, go ahead, turn me in. I'm all legal. And what this person did was just got 6 clones and just planted them.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked like they were going to die at first because he had them inside because it was we couldn't put them out yet because it was too early in the season. He just planted them in the ground. Gave them water and Alaskan fish fertilizer, and those things got to be about 7 to 8 feet tall and about 4 or 5 feet around. I'm going to guess they're probably going to probably yield about 0.5 to 1 pound of bud of each plant.
That's insane.
It is insane, and he didn't do shit. He didn't have to keep them warm. He just put a fence around them so the deer wouldn't get them, and they turned out great.
Imagine if you did want to keep them warm.
You put a blanket on them?
No.
Space heater.
Close. So you would set bonfires, 2 giant bonfires out next to them, right, to keep them warm?
Uh-huh.
But do you know what would happen then?
Your weed would get burnt.
No.
What?
The cops would come out to check out the bonfires.
Yeah, and then they would arrest you for your weed. But what if it was legal? And they'd say, oh, we're just keeping our weed warm.
Not this guy in Aurora, Illinois.
What? He did that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just making up a funny gatch story.
Nope.
Aurora, Illinois, huh?
Yeah, a man set 2 big bonfires to keep his marijuana plants warm. And at about 3 a.m., the police came out to investigate and spotted 3 suspicious-looking plants in the yard.
Wow.
And felony possession of cannabis and production of cannabis.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, he's in more trouble than those people who accidentally grew the pot in their yard.
Wow. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't do, you know, you guys listening out there, take note. Don't do stupid things. Be smart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be stupid.
I know.
If you have, I don't know, man.
But you know, he was just trying.
Just be smart.
He was high and going, man, I should light 2 bonfires, just see what happens. Right? And then next thing he knows, He didn't even probably think that that was a possibility that the cops.
Hey, dude, there's a backyard burn ban right now, all the way up till October 15th, which was yesterday. But not in Illinois. There's still high fire danger out there, I hear. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Can we go a political story?
But why not?
Really political.
Here. Oh, yeah. Before you do, okay. I was at my dad's house today, and he has an old school phone that actually hooks into the wall and stuff.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then it has a box that hooks up to
I was thinking like 1920s, but you're talking
He
like,
does have one of those, too, but it's
but
not
hooked
up. But
you're talking about like 1991, right?
Yeah, a regular phone. It even has a rotary dial, and he has a one of those boxes that like goes, hello. No one is available to take your call.
Machine?
Yeah, it has a tape in it or something weird. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're busy, and it was an unknown number. He didn't want to answer it. And he's like, oh, it's Oregon, blah, blah, blah. It's something political. They usually don't leave a message.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, and the guy on the answering machine is not, it's if you don't leave a message, it's like robot guy.
Yeah.
He sounds just like he sounds just like Mitt Romney. He's like, he's all, hello, no one is available to take your call right now. Please leave a message after the tone. Beep.
Well, how long do you think Romney
listen,
worked
was on
to
there.
Get that?
He's like, hello, this is Steve Lovelace. And I don't know if you've seen the signs around.
Yeah.
He's running for something.
Uh-huh.
He gave this 3-minute message about, come on down to the Pioneer Villa at this certain time, and if you can't come there, come to Skip's Restaurant in Harrisburg, and we will talk politics, and we'll clean this mess up. Vote for me, Stephen Lovelace.
So did that sway your vote at all?
No, it made me glad that I'm not a voter, and it made me wonder if his mom's name is Linda. And if she, and if he is spawned from the porn industry, I will not have anything to do with voting for him.
Yep.
And just because his name is that. Yeah. Okay, get political on my ass, Mitt Romney.
Well, it's what's that guy's Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had called ahead to his soup kitchen and had them save some dirty dishes for him to stop by and wash.
Is that Romney's partner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that he got there and there was complaints that he acted kind of, man, let's get this done and over with kind of way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, he showed up after they were done serving and everything and after the place was closed, kind of... Busted his way in by a volunteer that let him in. They didn't want to let him in, and he kind of pushed his way to get the photo op. And the non-profit organizations of the soup kitchen that runs it took it to the news story, or the news, because apparently he's in favor of cutting their budget.
Of course he is.
And so he gets a photo op with him. That's been pretty big news about just that whole expose and how painting him in a bad light it is.
I
just thought that was interesting. And, you know, I mean, it could have just as easily been either side doing that.
Hey, Taggetts, who watched the debate last night? I heard
it was
as stupid as all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was last night, but I didn't watch it. My dad, I know he was going to watch it, but I haven't talked to him yet. He actually gets a kick out of that, but... I've been watching some old Saturday Night Lives from last year that just came on Netflix, and they were just starting the campaign back there, and they got that Jason Sudeikis. He does a great Mitt Romney, and he's always saying, hope you guys are getting ready for the big football game coming up. I'm going for my Patriots, and if you don't like the Patriots, then I don't like them either. And I like what, you know, it's just like, I like whatever you like.
Yeah.
Unless you don't want to vote for me, then you could vote for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be okay, too, because I like whatever you like. Which, you know, he doesn't really say that, but pretty much that's what it comes down to.
Well, they all kind of do, right?
Politics are so funny.
Yeah.
I wish we didn't have to deal with.
You know what? They should follow the movement of the 62-year-old guy. And I have a conspiracy theory about this I'll get to.
Paul Schaefer?
No. He worked at Bumblebee Tuna Factory, fell into the vat where they cooked the tuna, dead.
Whoa.
62 years old.
Wow.
Now, is that a way to get out of paying his retirement benefits or what?
I guess. Bastards.
I know. And people worry about dolphin being in their tuna. You think this is where Soylent Green starts?
Dolphin. I saw a truck today that had like a dolphin, and then it said... Dong fang. What is that like a tooth on your penis? I was like,
it's a band name.
What is
right?
a dongfang?
Is it a band name?
It was on a it was on a container that goes on an 18-wheeler, you know, a truck, like a truck trailer. And at the like, you know how they have those lines down the side? It kind of looks like a railroad car. And on the last little section, it had a piece of whatever that had a thing stapled to the wall there, and it had a dolphin at the top, and it said dongfang going right down. And
that's
I was like,
weird.
What's a dongfang?
I don't know.
It's like Hung Fa Lo Dong Fang. You want to suck on my dong fang? I've got a tooth at the end of my penis. Hey, before we forget, we got about 10 or so minutes left here. What is in Hans's CD player? Hey, did we get that music ever? Remember our song? You don't remember our song for What's in Hans's CD player?
What's in
We're supposed
Hans's
to have it
CD
like
pre.
We're supposed to have it pre-recorded. Why don't we?
We almost did.
Can we do that this week?
Maybe. If you let me know what episode to grab it from.
It's from every previous episode before this one so far. And then you'll just have to go through and find the best one. Who knows? Today's might turn out the best. All right, here we go. What's in Hans's CD player? What's in Hans's CD player? What's in Hans's CD player? We're going to find out today. What's in Hans's CD player? What's in Hans's CD player? What's in Hansi's CD player? We're going to find out right now, biatch. With Paul Schaefer. That was a pretty good one. That might be a keeper. Check episode 25.
Or 6.
For that. You'll get it from episode 25. So today, copying me from last week or 2 weeks ago, Hans is listening to Led Zeppelin this week. Today, Led Zeppelin.
Hey, Mom.
Nope. Led Zeppelin 3. Which has a cool blues classic that I love called...
Don't say it.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's kick-ass. And I think it also has your favorite song that you like to sing at karaoke sometimes.
The Immigrant Song? Yeah.
Yes.
3 is probably one of my favorite. It probably is.
It's got Tangerine on it.
Yeah.
Which, check, this is weird. Hans, a CD player, that was awesome. But Tangerine was redone by some really stupid band called Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
Yeah.
And you know how, like, even my friend Pat Wambacher heard a few covers by the band that covered it before they heard the original and maybe thought that that was the original.
Yeah.
Well, my wife kind of thought that that song was by Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
Ah.
And then today I found out that the first time she ever heard the song Rocky Raccoon was when I sang it at karaoke a few years ago.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is. And not to say anything bad about my wife, but that was a pretty popular song.
It was.
And she's like, I've loved that song ever since I heard you sing it. Now when I hear it, she goes, it sounds just like when you sang it. And I was like, oh, thanks, honey.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm kind of a little bit opposite of Hans this week as far as what's in my turntable.
What was in his CD player again?
Led Zeppelin 3.
Oh, okay.
Tangerine, Immigrant Song.
I had something I wanted to say about
it. We'll say about
it. Is that the one with...
It's got a crazy cover with a bunch
lemon
of...
Lemon Party?
No, the Lemon Song?
Yeah.
No, that's on Led Zeppelin 2. Squeeze My Lemon Till the Juice Runs Down My
Leg. Yeah, you think that's about a Lemon Party?
No, that's Tangerine. Tangerine, squeeze my tangerine till the juice runs down my leg.
Oh, is it?
No, I'm just kidding. But
I
never thought about that. There's a lemon song on 2, and then there's tangerine on 3. What's the number first fruit song?
Black dog. That's another fruit.
That's a black hot dog. It's a burnt weenie sandwich. An octo dog. But yeah, I was listening to an Accused album again. I have a lot of their records, and a lot of their records I don't have the CDs of because this is one I bought actually from Blaine himself when we played with Toe Tag. It's a double album. It's called Archive Tapes. Another album that's called Tapes, which is just weird because it's a vinyl record and it's called Tapes.
It is weird.
But it's because it's cold from their tapes. I love using that chicken killing word, cold. But yeah, it's got a bunch of old stuff that's super punk. That's like some of its boombox recordings from their bedroom. And it's just, it's a good, fun listen. A lot of songs that they don't even play anymore. And what's in your junk drawer?
What's in my junk drawer is an old lemon.
And the weird thing is it smells like a tangerine.
Yeah.
Hey, have you heard anything from Adrian Bacon?
Yeah. He sent me a cat picture. That's all I know.
Well, has he sent you anything that was in his yin-yang?
No, I haven't been able to talk to him lately. I've been busy trying to work up some shows.
What's his... is he, like, not giving us as much love as he should be?
No, I think he went on a trip. Because I saw some pictures that he had of... Newfoundland, where he took his family up to see what looked like maybe his father.
Huh.
But it was cool. You know, I checked him out because the beaches and it looked like they were on the edge of the world in some of them.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Well, I was just
right
checking
up to their feet.
Just checking my post from earlier today to see if anybody commented to give us some topics or whatnot, but they didn't, so F them.
Yeah.
They don't count to us.
Did you hear about Dio, the latest Dio news?
I heard there was a Dio Disciples band.
No, this is...
What's the latest?
This is Saturn news. Dio...
has rocked.
Is separating from Danny DeVito.
I did hear that.
Apparently he's the ladies' man, promising all the new young starlets that he's going to make them famous.
Wow.
Danny DeVito is that guy.
He seems shorter than ever. Like I said, I was watching some old Saturday Night Live from last season, mm-hmm. and Charlie from Always Sunny was the host, and Danny DeVito was there just probably hanging out, getting chicks or whatever. But
apparently. Yeah.
So now she's not going to be Rhea Dia DeVito?
Yeah.
Her name was Rhea Dio before. That's actually his sister.
Wow.
Rhea Dio.
Rhea Dio.
Rhea Perlman,
you know,
Dio
what?
DeVito.
Duran Duran, if they're not together, needs to get together just so they can do the Rio Dio song.
Yeah, I think there should be a band that does all Duran Duran songs in the form of Dio, and they'd be called Dio Dio.
Rio Dio.
His name is Dio, and he rides across the land.
They would. They would be the Rio Dio.
That's what Elmo Fudd said. No, Anthony Lopez told me that band's the Rio Dio. Those guys are not fucking around, if you know what I mean. Hey, this is a gross thing, but it's close enough to talking shit. You ever, I know, I'm hoping the answer will be no, but a lot of times on the podcast, you'll ask a question and I'll get a yes.
Uh-huh.
You ever did a home enema kit?
No.
You ever seen him in the stores? Just like looking for something else.
I've seen them online, but I...
Well, they got them in the store sometimes, right, yeah. Like at the pharmacies and different places if you're in the wrong area of the store.
Yeah.
And you're looking for, what the fuck? Home enema kit. Well, this says, don't try this at your neighborhood drugstore. A man in Jacksonville, crazy Floridians mixed with talking shit.
Ooh.
He's accused of returning some ready-to-use enema kits that he claimed were unused, and they didn't check them, and they put them back on the shelf, and apparently he actually used them.
Yeah.
And so then someone else bought them, and they were already used, and that's gross. But I don't think the people who bought them used them before they realized that they had already been used. So now I don't know if you use a home enema kit, if it like it's like colonoscopy, sucking the shit out into the bottle, or I don't even know what is. But the dude got busted for tampering with consumer products, and it's a prank that could end him up in prison for 10 years and a high fine up to $250,000.
You mean 10 years of free meals?
10 years of three hots and a cot, and you might have to pay $250,000 when you get out of jail 10 years later.
Ow!
But Ronald Robinson, 34...
Man.
Using the enema kits and then taking them back.
I had a friend who...
That's why, wait, before you do that, always keep your friends close, but your enemas closer.
Oh,
speaking of friends, you had a friend that did what?
He just recently went in for a colonoscopy.
Ooh, I'm sure that I'm going to have some kind of invasive procedure sometime.
Well, he had
44.
Had some of his colon snipped out before. And I think we talked about this to where when you have that done, you can't shit for like 4 days. Because,
yeah.
You know, you got to let it heal.
Sometimes they turn your big, large intestine and your small intestine into your large intestine.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes up to the VA hospital because he's a vet, you know, and saw some action he did in Nam. But he was talking about it today, and he said that he was ready for the nurse's joke this time because last time she said, now, this is going to give you some gas, and you know the government, whatever they give you, they're going to want back. And so this time he's ready for a comeback. He said, nope, I pay my taxes. I'm going to take them home and share them with my friends.
Nice one. I bet that nurse had a chuckle.
Yeah. But here's hoping his polyp that they cut out comes back.
Paul
whatever.
Who?
Whatever they, whatever they hope for when they cut polyps out of your butt.
What's his name? Paul Up?
Paul Up.
I heard he hangs out with Paul Malkins a lot.
Yeah, but he said that he offered to bring me the movie. He said that...
Of his colonoscopy?
Yeah. I said that'd be the scariest thing since Tremors 3.
I know, my God.
Said maybe make a video game out of it and we'll talk. No, he said they numbed him, right? The IV and stuff. And then next thing you know, he was looking up and there was the video screen. And they said, we can turn that if you want. And he said, no, that's all right.
Okay, that's been...
a little deeper than we wanted to get.
That's called Deep Cover by Jack Handy.
That's probably about...
That's probably enough shit-talking, right? I would imagine, huh?
Yeah.
I don't want to end the segment without what we normally end with. Where'd my toilet go? Where'd my toilet go? Oh, there it is. Bye-bye, shit. Shit-tucky. So, hey, you guys, like if we didn't say before, get out there and do some humping, yep. Maybe.
Go check out catsinsantahats.com.
Yes. Check out 30poundtest.com.
Yeah.
Check out facebook.com/completeagresolutions.
Yep. Yeah, you should do that. And facebook.com.
Tagcast podcast.
Mm-hmm. And...
Or just Tagcast.
AvitaMidwifery.com.
All of those are previous sponsors. If you guys would like to get back into the swing of things, we're being nice and bringing you back up again. Go to the Brownsville Car Wash and wash your car.
Or your flautist.
Go to TagcastPodcast.com and click on the donate button and give us a dollar. Yeah. That way we can keep doing this for 4 more months maybe.
Woot.
And click on Amazon.com and go shopping there. I saw something really cool. Was it the death package that you sent me a link to?
Yeah, death package limited to 500, I think.
Dude, it's awesome. It's got outtakes from
It was only $100.
Spiritual healing and a pick set and a button set. Mm-hmm. And there was something else I was looking at on Amazon that was very interesting to me. And then I wanted to make sure that people would go to Tagcast Podcast first just to maybe give us a little boost in our revenue so we can keep bringing you this nonsensory.
Nonsensory.
Wait, is that even a word? Nonsensory.
Yeah, it means nonsensed, though. Like, you did not sense it when, like, Pat stapled that set list here, like, that one time.
Oh, that felt so good.
But that
felt better than when he stapled my ball sack to my leg later that night. And that was way before Steve-O ever did it. Hey, I would like to say thank you to Floyd for joining me on Friday on stage.
Yeah.
It planted a little seed. We might want to do a little Tenacious D action once in a while. But
Well, you know, I am in the works of opening up a vein of tributes.
He is?
I am.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be a good enough reason for us to get a set together to open for any tribute band.
Yeah. I did get a Tagcast request today from Where's Jared?
Ooh. I actually got a text from him, so maybe we'll call him on Friday.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. Have a great hump day, and we'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, with Al the Menta. Rock on!
And metal up your Menta. I love that organ. Hey, Taggets, how you doing? Looking for some fun stuff to do? Of course you are. You don't want to be a stick in the mud. Go out and see some comedy and some music. We'd like to support our local podcast buddies at the Big and Loud Podcast. They'll have their first live podcast taping tomorrow, Thursday, October 18th, at the Mount Tabor Theater in Portland. It's $5 at the door, 21 and over. Starts at 9 o'clock. Go check out what goes down at their podcast. Wednesday, October 24th, Black Tusked, Nether Regions, Lord Dying and Towers are at Plan B. That's 1305 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, 21 and over, $8 at the door, 9 o'clock showtime. October 26th, at the Blacklight Lounge in Salem, we got Crimson Guardian with Brutos, A Killing Dove, and Abaddon. 9 p.m., $4 at the door, 21 over. 610 Marion Street is where that's located. It's the Blacklight Lounge. October 27th, the Halloween Saturday night, there's a bunch of stuff going on, so check out all these shows. At the Wandering Goat in Eugene, it's acoustic night with Mike Scheidt of Yob and Phil Merwin from Dirt Clawed Fight. That starts at 9 o'clock, 268 Madison in Eugene. That same night at the Dixie Creek Saloon in Tangent, we've got the
Halloween extravaganza with the Berated, Blood Oath, and American Overdose. Also 9 p.m., 21 and over. That's a free show at the Black Forest in Eugene, October 27th as well. We got Electric Funeral, Gladhander, Awake, and Liquid. Another costume contest going on down there. A free show starts at 9 o'clock. And at Goodfellas, if you're in Springfield, go check out Headless Pez, a.k.a. White Devil, Bloodlust, and another band. I can't remember their name, but that's at 10 p.m., so plenty of stuff to do on the Saturday before Halloween. Go do that. The 28th at Rauchur, we got Dog Shredder and Dysrhythmia. Rauchur is at 315 Southeast 3rd in Portland. And then Sunday, November 11th, it's Napalm Death and newly added local thrash lessons, Wehrmacht or Wehrmacht, however you want to say it if you're from Germany. That's at the Hawthorne Theater. Get your tickets now. They're probably going to be going fast. Saturday, November 17th, the Dixie Creek Comedy Showcase, number 4 with Andy Andrist, myself, and Jesse Priest. Dustin Gatchel will be hosting the show and a live taping of our podcast, the season finale. That starts at 9:30. The show does. It's 21 and over. It's free. It's November 17th. And then last on the list, this is a ways down the line, but it might blow your mind. Friday, December 14th at the Oak Street Speakeasy in Eugene, Oregon, Corrosion of Conformity, Yob, and Saviors. That's Saviors with a U and an S. It's 21 and over. I'm sure they'll charge at the door because I think COC will be the biggest band Oak Street Speakeasy has seen to date. Check that out. It's a Friday night. Local Legends Yob will be there. Go check out those shows, you guys. It's going to be a good time. Thanks for listening.